In today's selection from Isaiah, the prophet makes the contrast between what is solid, what's secure, and what is passing away. One of the images that stands out is, the Lord is an eternal rock. It's kind of interesting because we know the Lord is spirit. But the image that conveys the security of God is a rock, an eternal rock. So whatever's built on that rock is lasting. Strong city, secure city, kept in peace. And then there's what does not belong to the rock, or what is not built on the rock, and that's the lofty city that gets brought down to the ground, leveled to the dust, trampled underfoot by the needy, by the footsteps of the poor. So you see the contrast. Either we have this eternal rock, or we don't. And we see that in today's gospel, Jesus speaks about this same thing, and the liturgy puts these two readings together. This is part of the genius of the liturgy. Jesus, this is a selection from his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says there's a difference between a man who builds his house on rock and the one who builds his house on sand. A wise man builds his house on rock, a foolish man builds his house on sand. You see the same basic image as Isaiah was talking about. Jesus points out, though, that merely calling out Lord, Lord is not enough to build on rock. It's a warning to us that simply saying religious words or going through the motions of religious activity, that's not the same thing as building on rock, even though it looks like it. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So saying religious words is building on sand. Doing the will of the Father is building on rock. Clear enough. In fact, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? To do the will of God is the solid thing. That's to build on what is solid. And to do anything other than the will of God is to build on sand. It's a guarantee to collapse. In some ways, what we see in this gospel is a repetition of what we heard on Sunday, first Sunday of Advent, the very beginning of this little mini Advent season, where Jesus said, be like servants who are on the watch, ready for the return of the master. He doesn't say the wise servant is the one who's ready and the foolish servant is the one who's not ready, but it's implied that if we're ready for the master to come, if we're alert, awake, on guard, then that we're wise. And if we're not, if we're lazy or sleepy or distracted or not doing our job, well, we're obviously foolish, because the master will come when we're not ready. And we don't know when it will be, so it's foolish not to remain ready. So that was Sunday's message, and here it is again. Now, I say this is obvious. It's obvious when you put it like this. If you ask any engineer if it's better to build a house on rock or on sand, you don't even have to ask that. It's so obvious. But when we look at our own way of life, we realize we're prone to be foolish. As we go through our day, it's not always so obvious to us what is really of value, what's really secure, and what's of little or no value, what's going to pass away. What came to my mind was the flood of invitations to attract attention that you get in the social media. Every day I get a bunch of emails about this or that, breaking news, great investment deal, some famous person died, this is something you need to know, including in the church. Cardinal so-and-so says this, Bishop so-and-so says that, the Pope said this, something, and there's all kinds of clamor for my attention, and because I'm foolish, I click on these stupid things, and I end up reading about someone who died. One case just came up last week, Henry Kissinger, who was very, very prominent as I was growing up, a very prominent figure. So I ended up reading an article about the whole legacy of Henry Kissinger. And at the end of the article, I said, you know, that might be interesting. It might be connected to my personal journey, but not really. And that was really a waste of time. I should have just acknowledged this man died. Lord, have mercy on him. He was a powerful man, but he wasn't necessarily a good man. So Lord, have mercy. And that's enough. I don't have to read for 15 minutes about everything Henry Kissinger did. But I say, I'm using myself as an example of a foolish man. At the end of the day, was that 15 minutes used really well for the kingdom? Or was it just building on sand, something that's not of value? And I'm sure you can come up with these things yourself. I mean, something went viral. So, oh, what went viral? Oh, this scene between two famous politicians. Well, just because it went viral doesn't mean that we have to click on it and see the argument between the two politicians. It's enough to know, in fact, we don't even have to know that, but it's enough to know that there's conflict in the political world. Now, there are some things we have to get involved in, of course, depending on our work, our responsibilities. I mean, we are citizens of this world. We do have responsibilities in the political order, economic order, social movements, yes, even though they will all pass away. So it's not as if I'm saying we have to be extracted from everything in the world. Of course not. But we have to recognize the relative value. What is so obvious, the difference between rock and sand, is not obvious to us as we go through the day. And that's where we have to get more wisdom to see that this matter, which is basically sand, but still something to be attentive to for now, but it's not going to change my eternal destiny. Perhaps this comes to mind, this idea of engagement in sand or building on sand or building on rock, in light of today's saint, Saint Ambrose, who before he was chosen as a bishop was a civil leader. He was governor of Milan. He was a man of great competence as a leader in the world. He was a worldly man. He wasn't even baptized. And he was concerned about public order and rights and justice and, you know, running the show. You know the story of how he got selected as a bishop. The previous bishop died, and there was all kinds of controversy about who's going to be his replacement. And Ambrose, who was in charge of civil order, was trying to get the people to make this decision in peace. And someone said, well, what about Ambrose? He's got the gifts to be a bishop. Now, how that happened, it wouldn't happen like that nowadays, of course. But he was, by popular acclaim, chosen to be bishop, even though he wasn't even baptized yet. In fact, his feast day, December 7, is the day of his consecration as bishop, not the day of his death. That's how significant this was in the journey of Augustine and in the history of the church, because once he became a bishop, he dedicated all his extraordinary gifts to the service of the kingdom. He knew the world. In fact, he loved to make use of the world and his worldly knowledge for the promotion of the kingdom. He used to, in his preaching and writing, quote extensively from pagan authors that he had studied as a young man. This is one of the things that impressed St. Augustine. Augustine saw this Ambrose and said, wow, because Augustine himself, remember, was a man of the world who was trying to build on worldly values and kept on discovering that it's sand. Everything was so unsatisfactory to him. He kept on looking for something solid. He meets Ambrose, or he hears Ambrose, and he says, wow, this man knows the difference between sand and rock. And that's, I'm putting that in my words. I don't know if Augustine ever said it quite like that, but he recognized the difference between Augustine recognized that Ambrose knew the difference between what is unsatisfying and what is genuinely satisfying. That's why it was really Ambrose who led Augustine over the over the threshold from doubt to faith. Ambrose baptized Augustine. So here's a man, Ambrose, who is involved in all sorts of sand, but doesn't build his own personal life on sand. He knows how to walk through a sandy world without losing his equilibrium or getting caught up in what is not of ultimate value. What puts the building to test is the storms. In the image Jesus uses, both the house built on rock and the house built on sand have to face the wind and the floods. Before the storm comes, the two houses look the same. The one calling out, "Lord, Lord," and the one doing the will of the Father might look the same. But when trials come, we see the difference. If we're built on some human strength, our own gifts or advantages in the world, or popularity or money, when the trials come, that will all collapse. Lately, there's been a lot of news about earthquakes. You probably know that. That the only one I felt was the one that struck on Tuesday afternoon. But and I didn't know that they evacuated the government buildings in Manila because of that earthquake. I saw it in the news afterwards. They stopped the trains, and I mean, people really took that earthquake seriously, and probably wise to do so. But then the discussion is, well, okay, there's lots of earthquakes seemingly in the country. What are we ready for the big one? Are we ready for the big one? Well, if we are built on solid rock, if our life is secure on what does not change, meaning the Lord, well, then we're ready. And if we are hoping that all our earthly advantages are going to remain forever, well, then we're not ready. We're built on sand. That's the great Advent message for today. Build on the Lord, who is an eternal rock. Do the will of God. Don't be content with religious veneer or appearances or simply saying, "Lord, Lord." Make sure that you do the will of God. And doing the will of God might not be impressive to the world. It might look to the world like sand, but in fact, that is the one secure foundation that we are to build on. The will of our Father in heaven.